You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us. To discover more about LMC, visit us online at lifeministry.church. Today's message comes from lead pastor Andy Hunt. We pray that it encourages you in your faith journey.
Let's pray before we begin. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your church. We thank you, Lord God, that we get to come freely today and bring glory to your name, to worship you, to open your word freely, to study it, to see what it has to say about the world that we live in, to see what it has to say about us, but also more importantly, to see what it says about who you are, Lord God. And so we want to come around that today to bring your name, Jesus, all the glory and apply it to our lives as you challenge us this day. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Well, the year has begun. We are already in February. 1/12 of the year is done and dusted, and oh my, how quickly that goes. We've had a lot of things on this year, and I always consider this when it comes to announcements time at church, because it seems like there's a lot, and there's a lot of things to say, because there's a lot of things going on, and that's a good thing. But I'm going to say in a moment, it's not about the things. They're good, but it's not about those things. But just briefly, our summer camp at the start of the year, we had about 200 go to summer camp of our youth, go to summer camp. And they're not just youth from this church, by the way. They're youth from our community. They're youth from different schools. And they come, and youth from different churches as well. And they come to encounter the presence of God. And we had 9 of them baptized last week at church, and we've got more that are coming in a couple of weeks to get baptized. God is moving in our young people church, and you need to be encouraged and excited by that. You know, Matt and Holly doing a great job with our youth ministry, but also Josh and Madison, I'm announcing today, Madison Bradshaw and Josh Blacker, who are coming on team with us to serve in our youth ministry as well, doing a great job. Thank you so much. Where are they? Stand up, Maddie. Stand up, Josh. Where are you? There they are. Congratulations, guys. Well done. Well done. Well done. And they're gonna relieve a bit of the... Thank you, guys. You can sit. Or you can stand. It's up to you. Relieve a bit of the pressure because... Can I say to the church what's going on? Is that all right or no? Because Holly's growing a little human being inside her. Isn't that exciting? Yeah, it's exciting. And so they're really going to help and assist continue what God is doing in our youth ministry, in our young adults who had conference at the start of this year. I'm so thrilled that they are making the decision that we are not prioritizing just going on holidays at the start of the year, but we're coming to learn from the Word of God. We're coming to spend time in His presence. God is moving in our church right throughout all of the different age groups. Kids back on Friday nights, and praise God for our kids' ministry. Praise God for the servant-hearted leaders. You here who serve on a Friday night, who serve on a Sunday. For Pastor Pete, who is doing well, praise God. It's slowly but surely, every day improving and getting stronger. We are so thankful for God and what He is doing in their lives. You know, life groups and Dedication Sunday, as we do everything to just say, God, we glorify you for what you're doing. It's not about the things that we do. It is about God and what He is doing. He is doing. All glory to Him. On the walls of the church today, you'll see these banners that say the mission statement of our church, living and ministering Christ. We are Life Ministry Church, living and ministering Christ. We are, in essence, loving God and loving others. Loving God, living and ministering Christ is what we are here to do. God is working in us and then He is working through us. And it's important that we always get the order right on this. It's God and His way first. We love Him, we serve Him, we worship Him. And it's easier for us to get wrapped up into all the things and the busyness of all the things that we do, and they're great. But it's not about what we're doing. It's about who we're becoming in Christ that matters first. Although these are guiding markers for us as a church and as an organization, the truth is that this dual-layered response is at the core of our God-given purpose as individuals as well. And so when you see that living and ministering Christ, I want you to apply that loving God and loving others to your own life. This is a mandate on us as well. Jesus says this in Matthew 22, verses 35 to 40, and He's talking to the Pharisees, who are always trying to trap Him and trick Him into saying something, then go, aha, And they say one of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question: "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Love God and love others. Everything else filters down through those." What's great about this simplicity and the way that Jesus responds to the Pharisees in this moment is it's applicable for us. No matter whether you're here in church and you've just begun your journey with Jesus, or whether you are way down the track and you've been living with him for many, many years, this is the response that you are to give as a follower of Christ. Keep it simple. Love God and love others. And everything else filters down out of those two things. Every year, towards the end of the year, I turn my attention towards the next year and seek God for his direction for us as a church. It's normally quite a journey that God takes me on as I jump from one thought and he leads me from one thought to another before distilling it down all into a word or a phrase that we can center ourselves around as a church. But before I tell you what it is, let me tell you what God has been doing and stirring in my heart. And I asked him and I wrestled with him about whether to do this or not, because I don't want it to be taken the wrong way and I don't want it to be about me. It is not about me. But I feel it's going to be an encouragement to some people today. What has God been stirring in my heart? I believe that God has given me a heart to love people. And I genuinely do. I genuinely do love people. That's why I'm the kind of guy, and even as I look back through my life, I realize that if ever I've been criticized for anything, or even us as a church, when we criticize it hurts, not because I feel like I'm being attacked or we're being attacked, but because I have a soft heart and I genuinely want the best for people. And I believe God has blessed me with that and I don't want to change it. The thing about a soft heart is it can be moved by God, but it also, a soft heart can be hurt easily. And so if you are one of those people that has a soft heart, let me encourage you to guard that heart. Guard it above all else, because you'll cop some stuff. You will over time. And we, I think, as Christians in general, are going to continue to cop that stuff from the outside world. But we need to make sure that we are protected. We have protected and guarded our heart. And we know whose heart it is, who we are facing towards, so that we can deal with that. Regarding my love of people, it's twofold. I want to see each one of you in our church grow in your relationship with God, in your love of him, in your knowledge about the word, that you might not just know more of what he's done for you, but that you might know him more. And secondly, I want to see people in our community who don't know Jesus find him and see their lives gain purpose and gain meaning in him. And these two things motivate me a lot in what I do. But there's something that trumps all of that, because I love God more than anything else. He is my all. And my goal every single day is to align myself further with his thoughts and with his ways. And though I don't always meet that goal in the way that I'd like, I continue to press forward and I know that he is patient and that he is gracious towards me. James 4, 6 to 8 is such an encouragement. It says, "And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." And so the encouragement for all of us is, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. And sometimes we finish there, but what's next is really important as well. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And though I can stand up here and many of you would be able to say the same thing back to me, and I say, yeah, I love God more than anything else, and you would say, Andy, I'm with you. I love God more than anything else and anyone else. He is my number one. There is also a response that is required of us. Yes, love God, but there's a purifying of our hearts. There's a repentance of our sin. There's a changing of our ways. It's required as part of that process as well. because we want to make sure our loyalty is not divided between God and the world. God has created each one of us, me included, with a choice. Will we serve God or will we serve man? Will we serve ourselves? Will we live for God or will we live for the world? Is he our God or will we divide our loyalty? So our theme for 2024 is about that choice. How will we decide to respond across all areas of our lives? Our goal in 2024, and you can have that slide, is to simply worship the one. But though this is a phrase that we're going to come around this year, this is actually so much more than a phrase. This is our very purpose here on earth, to worship the one. And I want you to note straight away, there's two parts to this. There's worship, which is our response, and there's the one. It is to whom we are responding. The rest of the talk today is going to be around just a really basic introduction to this theme around that first word, worship. I'm looking forward to diving into this with you over the next few weeks and months as we look at the one as well and why he is worthy of all of our praise. But to start, there's a couple of truths for us to take away specifically around this word worship. The first one is this, if you're writing notes, is that we have been created to worship. In the broader sense of the word, worship is something that we as human beings are actually experts in. Worship isn't something that you learn as a young person growing up, as it's something that has been hardwired into us as human beings. We have been created to worship. What is worship? I love how Tim Keller sums it up, and he says it in this way. The word worship is from Old English, worth-ship, the ascribing of highest worth. Whatever your value, whatever you value or love the most, whatever is your greatest source of significance and security, you are worshiping in your heart. Worship in church is just an expression of that. The ascribing of highest worth. Who or what is the question? Who or what in my life am I giving my worship? Because it's going somewhere. We are all worshiping. We have been created to worship. We have control of where that goes. In truth, you can worship a multitude of things. Basic things that we would think about. Possessions can be worship. Other people can be worship. Celebrities can be worship. Status, other gods, certain cultural phenomenons can be worshipped as well. And I want to talk about one of those for a second. Every year, Time Magazine releases their Person of the Year, which I'm not sure how much that actually means, but they release their Person of the Year. Who knows who that was in 2023? Taylor Swift, you're right. Taylor Swift, 2023, Worldwide Person of the Year. Amazing. How good are we as humanity, right? Taylor Swift. I'm getting in trouble from some of the Taylor Swift fans, aren't I? For those people who weren't aware, Taylor Swift's been touring, and she has toured over the last 12 months to nearly 12 million people, as an estimate. This tour that she's on has made her a billionaire, raking in over $1 billion for her alone. New Zealand weren't a part of the tour. They got left out. So Air New Zealand had to charter 14 extra flights for all the people who had booked tickets in Australia to fly over just to see Taylor Swift over here in Australia. In 2 weeks' time, she is here at the MCG, which has been sold out for 3 nights in a row at 100,000 people each. And as all of these tickets were snapped up so fast, ticket resellers or scalpers were selling tickets for around between $1,500 and $3,000 for a single seat to go and see Taylor Swift. All you need to do is to look into the eyes of someone in the front row of a Taylor Swift concert to see that we were all created to worship something or someone. You can imagine those eyes. But this goes beyond a pop star, you know. This is to a sporting event or even to a workplace or to any of those sorts of things. You can sub this into here. What is worthy of yours and my attention and our affection? What is worthy of our attention and our affection? What or who? Because if we don't make a conscious decision about who or what we will worship, then the world will make that decision for us because we have all been created to worship. Romans 1, verse 18 to 25 is a real powerful bit of scripture, and it's a real warning for us. I want to read it today. Paul's saying this in verse 18, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." This is applicable as he wrote it back then and is applicable to us today. "They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can see his invisible, clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for knowing God." Yeah, as we pause there for a second, just go back and pause on that one. As we pause there for a second, it says, so they have no excuse for not knowing God because they can see him clearly in the things. I think one of the biggest ploys of the enemy as we live in today's day and age is to make us busy. The busier, the better for us. We live in a world that never sleeps. You can work 24/7 as a person connected to around the world and just continue to have more to do. We as society, we are not sleepers, right? We are not across the world. And I think part of that has led us to being so focused on the next thing and in the screen, all of that, that we miss the simplicity. I've said this a couple of times before, the simplicity of just sitting down and looking out the window, or sitting out and having a look at what God's creation himself. This scripture says it. This is an encouragement to us. Sit and behold the glory of God as we just see here the beauty of his creation. I love Rick and Ann Gash, who are long-term members of this church. Rick and Ann last year had an idea of taking some of our young kids, and they'd take them up to the barn after church for a few weeks over the terms and run this program called Look What God Made. And really it's about looking at the leaves, and it's about looking at the bugs, and it's about understanding how things grow from that pure point of view, that as these kids grow up and they become part of a busier and busier world, that they have learnt that I can just simply look at what God made and give him thanks and give him praise as I see those things. It's a great teaching. Let's read in verse 21. It says, "Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like, making their own gods. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshipping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshipped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles." So what did God do? God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth of God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. The result of their worship being in the wrong place was this: life apart from God. We are all going to worship someone or something, or even ourselves. It is hardwired. It is an unremovable characteristic. But each one of us must choose who or what it is we will worship. So first thing is, we have been created to worship. The second point for us today to know is that worship isn't primarily behavior, it's a posture. More specifically, it's a posture of our heart. Matthew 15, 8 to 9, Jesus says this: "These people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts," underline that, "their hearts are far from me." Their worship is a farce. Whew. "For they teach man-made ideas as commands from God." If I asked you today, before we started, to define worship for me, many of us who have been a part of church before would say worship is that part where we start the service with singing. That's worship, right? Or we would say something like, you know, it's this genre of music that I listen to. That's worship. It's worship music. And it has some lyrics that are common with the Bible, or, you know, even people outside of Christian music would go, oh, that worship music, it's got a certain feel to it, or whatever it is. But though that can be a part of it, that is only a small part. And before we look at the outward expression, we need to understand that it begins with the inner workings of the heart. And Jesus, we've seen already a couple of examples of the fact that he did not hold back when speaking to the religious leaders of the day because they had lost sight of worship And we read an instance of this in Matthew 23, 25 to 26. Jesus says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you're so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too. What is the purpose of a dish that is dirty on the inside? It is now void of its purpose because it cannot be used to eat cleanly out of. It is void of its purpose." He goes on to call the Pharisees whitewashed tombs because they look beautiful on the outside, all put together, but full of death on the inside. Bones, rotting flesh. And this comment about the whitewashed tombs to the Pharisees would have been so extremely offensive to them. Because for them, being really obedient to the Jewish law, they knew that they could not touch dead flesh. They could not touch a dead body. And so here Jesus is saying, "Mate, like, I know you guys are so careful about not touching that, but that's inside you. That's how backwards you have all this going." He's saying that if your focus is all on about how you dress up and how you obey, and you neglect the importance of your heart being towards him, then you have completely missed the point. Now, the Oscars are on in a couple of weeks' time, in about a month's time. And when I think about the Oscars, what's the Oscars about? What's it supposed to be about? Honoring the best actors that have played a good role. I actually think that there are many people on earth that could probably win an Oscar, to be honest, because many of us are good actors. Even you and even I would be worthy of that sometimes because we've learned how to act. We've learned how to fool people here and there across the way. I want to tell you a story, and I've told this story a couple of times before. You might have heard it or you might not, but this portion maybe not. Before Cass and I had kids, we went on some international travel and we went to the United States. And we had to get up very early in the morning to travel because we went from Melbourne to Sydney, Sydney to LA, and then LA straight across to New York. It was over about 24 hours of flying to get there. It was a long way. And so we got up very early and we arrived to the airport about 6 o'clock in the morning at Melbourne to catch the flight. And we it's so early, and so we check in and then we get something to eat. So we have something to eat and then get on the flight and go up to Sydney. Once we get to Sydney, we've got about an hour there before we board the flight to New York, and we're sitting on the ground, and I say to Cass, "I'm just like, something inside my stomach is just not feeling too good right now. I'm not feeling that great." I'm like, "Okay, we'll concentrate on something else, and we'll let it pass and see how it goes." And it didn't go. In fact, it got worse inside me, and it kept like, you know, when it like starts gurgling away, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And it was doing that. It got so close, it was the time, and they were about to call for boarding. And I'm like, "It's not getting better, it's actually getting worse, and I think I'm going to have to go to the bathroom." And so I get up, and I start walking, and then I start running, and I've never had an experience like this in my life before, but it was like someone turned on a fire hydrant inside my stomach, and it just went, boo, straight up. And it was horrible. I'm not going to go into any more detail. But here I am, and I'm trying to clean up. I'm trying to clean up everything. And I know the plane's boarding, and I run out, and I get back in the line. And I've said, "I'm sorry, cleaners, I'm sorry." And I've run out of there. And I'm in this position, and I'm thinking these two things. This ain't a great thing before I'm about to get on a 15-hour flight. Not great for me, nor the person that's sitting next to me in the plane. The second thing is, they're going to stop me from getting on this flight, and I want to go on this holiday. And so I've got a choice to make here. And so I'm in the line. You know what it's like, man? Like, I've got the bloodshot eyes, and I'm like, I'm white as anything, and I'm standing there, and I'm standing with Cass. I'm not recommending this, but I stand there with Cass, and they go, "Next, please." And you know what I do? I do this. "I'm good, I'm fine, I'm okay. And I put on the best brave face that I can, and they let me board the plane. Fortunately, the lady sitting next to us, she looked after me so well. She was like my mother. She's like, "I've got all the stuff for you, don't worry about it, you're fine. I'll get up as much as you need to." I'm like, "Thank you." And so, thank God, nothing else happened after that, but we got on the plane. But I think we can actually be like that sometimes in our lives, where we go, "I actually need to put on this brave face right now, and I need to do all this and make sure this is all good. But man, people only knew how sick I am on the inside right now, how crook I feel about the way I'm doing life or about what people have said or whatever it is, man, if only people knew that. And we are good at acting and faking this outward persona. It's a real challenge. And the writer of Hebrews gets to this, and this is such an awesome scripture, bring hope to anybody who's feeling that. Hebrews 4, 12 to 13. Says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. We heard this at Bill's memorial service yesterday. Cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one to whom we are accountable. Nothing is hidden from God. Everything before his eyes, for he is the one to whom we are accountable. And I know that, like, that can be a little bit of a, whew, wow. But let's not miss the point of this passage. Because this passage in Hebrews is saying that it is his word that does that to us, because it's alive and it's powerful. This is a positive scripture. And if you feel that that is your life, where you're putting on this, like, I'm brave facing it, but I'm so sick on the inside, can I encourage you to get in the word and allow it to do what God has designed it to do, to reveal those things, to create healing in your own being because of the truth of what God says about you instead of the sickness that you might feel. Worship is our response. But it's not primarily a behavior, it's a posture. We cannot fake worship. The third thing I have is this, and I'm going to expand on this. I was going to expand on it today, but I'm going to put it off. But the third thing is that the response of our heart must have an outward action. So we looked at the fact that we are all worshipers. God has created us to worship. The second thing being that it's so much more than a behavior, it's a posture of our heart, it's internal. But then out of that, there has to be a response from us. There is an outward action. Once the direction has been set, there must be an outward action. Nick, if I can ask you to grab that thing for me, that'd be great. I read this definition this week that encapsulates worship so well for us. From Louis Giglio, and I'll read it out to you. He says it like this. Worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to who God is, to God, for who he is, and for what he has done. Expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live. Do I have that on the screen? Have you got that there? There it is. Worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God, for who he is and for what he has done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way that we live. And this year, we're on a journey to further understand who God is and what he has done. And as we fix our eyes on Jesus, the external expression of worship will flow into every single aspect of our lives. And so I don't want us to make the mistake when you see this theme this year, worship the one, that it's all about what you see here. That is going to be a part of it. Oh, how I'm looking forward to our times of worship as a church here corporately. But this goes so much deeper than that for every single one of us and requires our own individual response. See, Jesus didn't die just to be Lord of your Sunday mornings, nor Lord just over the end years of your life. He didn't come to just be Lord over certain parts, certain things that you watch or certain things you read. He came to be Lord over every single part of your life. Bring that up for us, Nick. And Steph and the worship team, you guys can come and we're gonna sing at the end of this. This everyone is a, yeah, that's perfect. This everyone is a blueberry cheesecake. Did you? Nick whipped it up. No, she did not. That is a lie, Nicole. Does anyone like blueberry cheesecake? Does anyone think cheesecake is the pits? This is a blueberry cheesecake, but I want you to see this today. Hold that. I'm going to hold it up and show people. Can you see it all right there? I want to like tip it so you can see it a bit. A blueberry cheesecake. This is your life. Choose whatever cake you want it to be. Let me tell you a couple of things before we close. The ABS, Australian Bureau of Statistics, says this from last year. Out of our life, 10.5 hours each day is used for necessary activities, being sleeping, eating, or grooming ourselves, getting ourselves ready. That's 40% of our life. So Nick, can you cut me a 40% slice of that, please? Do your just very best. Come on. You got it. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. I think that's excellent, Nick. You reckon I can pick that up?
Yep.
Don't worry about it. We can clean the carpet. Aaron, your husband can clean the carpet. The necessary items right here, okay? It's a big chunk. Would anyone like a piece of cake this big? Some hands. A necessary chunk, 40%, 40% of our life. 8 hours, which is another 33%, Nick, of that cake. 33% of the whole cake. Not cut out of the same piece because we aren't working and doing those necessary things. You're doing great, Nick. 33%, which one's that? Which one's the 33? This one? 33%. Your work life, paid work, unpaid work, that's the average for all of us, is right there. Okay? It's still a big chunk, would you say?
Massive.
That's a big chunk of cake for someone to eat. The last 6.5 hours, which you've got perfect there, that's 6.5 hours beautifully, Nick, 27% is carved up between free time and domestic work on average. And I want to note a couple of things. We're not going to pick that one up. I want you to note a couple of things. 30%, cut me 30% of that one. 30% of your time, 6 hours and 51 minutes, 30% of that big chunk, because that's the necessary things. Yeah, that's good. That's the 30% of the total. Is our sleep time. And when we talk about our whole lives and make up, and look, God not being Lord over part, but God being Lord over all, that's a big chunk of sleep for all of us. And I ask this question, like seriously, like God, if you want to honor me, if you want me to honor you in every part of my life, then how does that fit in? How does the sleep side of it fit in? How do I worship God while I'm sleeping, right? And I think it has so much to do with not the time that we spend asleep, but what we do in the lead up to that time. And this is a real challenge for some of you here today, that the portion of the cake in the lead up to that big chunk is spent doing things that aren't filling your life with the Word of God, that you might sleep in that peace that He can provide for you. What do you do with your time before you go to sleep, that we might honor Him in our sleep and through our sleep? 75% of people will watch TV or video on average 3 hours a day. 3 hours a day. The question is, am I going to leave that in the my control part of this, or is that something that I'm going to submit to God as well? As a member of LMC, if a 10 a.m. service is your only contact with us as a church, that's approximately 2 hours of your time in a week, which in a week is 1.2%. Can you cut me 1.2% of that, please? Just do your best.
Yeah, that's 1.2. Oh, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, just wipe that on there. Yeah, I think that's a generous 1.2%. I know we're having a gag. I know it's funny. But really, if our attitude to worship is, God, I give you this, that I come to church and I worship you, the 1.2% of our week, what does that say to God about who it is that we worship? See, God is a God, and I want to start with this at the start of the show. We come around worshiping the One. That we make sure it is worshiping the One. Now, let me give you that. It's all right, Aaron. That when we worship the One, we don't try and carve up the portion of our life that we think this is convenient this week and I can worship God, you with this part. Or this area of my life, these relationships, God, I know they're not great. Thanks, Nick, I'll keep this. I know they're not great. I know they're not healthy for me, but I need that because I need some me time, or I need this fulfillment in this area of my life. And we say, well, I'm keeping that portion of the cake. As we worship the one, we are saying, God, here is my life. Every single part of it. The little slivers, the big stuff, everything, God, I'm dedicating to you. I want to worship you with all that I have. Why? Because you are the only one that is worthy. The news for everyone here today is that Taylor Swift is not worthy of your worship. The Lord our God, the Lord our God, Jesus Christ. And so worship, come on. I want to leave you with this passage, and then we're going to sing a song that you guys have chosen already, that God knows that you want. He wants us to sing, so make sure you get it right, because he knows already. So this is Jesus' response to the enemy, right? Luke 4:5-8. The devil took him up and revealed to him all the kingdoms of all the world in a moment. And he says, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them, the devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. I'll give it to you all. I'll give it all to you if you worship me. This is the promise of that trade-off of worshiping God or changing it to someone else. And Jesus replied, the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Can you join me in standing? And I want to pray for you today. Holy Spirit, have your way. Sure. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for including us, Lord, in your great plan for humanity. We thank you that as we stand here, we can sing songs like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. That we can sing songs like It Is Well With My Soul. And we can be at peace because of the love of our Father God in giving his Son Jesus to die for us, that our sins might be forgiven as we put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, as we make him Lord over our lives, that we rise again with him and live a full life on this earth and into eternity. But Father God, we want to come into line with what you say about us and our response to you, which is to worship you and worship you alone. And so, Lord, for anybody who is considering, this is what my life looks like right now, and I'm not so certain that every part, every slice of my life is given over to God for worship, that you would bring that to the surface for us right now in Jesus' name. Father, we know your word says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. That we know that is truth over us today, as well as it was of the Israelites back then. Father, we thank you that your word says, for the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life to the full. And so as we consider these things that we need to lay down before you and surrender before you today, we know that this is not taking things away from our lives that we do not have life to the full. We know that it is subtracting what we have made and worshipped in our lives that we might worship the one true God, that we might find that full life in you. Jesus, we come to you as we start this year today, and we declare that with our lives, we will worship the one. We will exalt your name. From our lips, from our hearts, in our actions, in our thoughts, Lord God, we worship your name, for you are worthy.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message. If you'd like to hear more inspiring messages from Life Ministry Church, or you would like to know more about us, including service times, events, or what following Jesus is all about, be sure to visit us online at lifeministry.church. Thanks again for listening.